this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
The sudden and unexpected rise of Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana was, well, it was just that. It was sudden and it was unexpected, but somehow Mike Johnson, who seemed to be kind of a nobody, I mean, he just rose up out of nowhere, he became the Speaker of the House, and that's a very powerful position. And he was regarded as an ultra-conservative Christian, and of course that is least to be desired in politics if you're going with the majority or with a uniparty. But he seemed to me to have limited leadership experience, and yet he was chosen. Now, he's not without any credentials. He was a lawyer. He was a former chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Now, how often do we hear about that committee, right? Not too often. But Mike Johnson actually served on Trump's impeachment defense team that sought to stop the certification of the stolen 2020 election. So, you know, in my eyes, that puts a feather in his cap. I thought, okay, this guy obviously is standing for what I consider to be the right thing, and he has enough gumption to head up this committee. So, you know, that's impressive to me. And when he was elected to this position, he actually had some pretty bold statements, and I want to get into some of that to remind us of that. But interestingly, Mike Johnson also had a record of opposing continued funding of the war in Ukraine. Now, I don't know if people realize that. So what I'm asking is, how was this guy elected and why was he elected? Because remember, there was a secret ballot vote that won him 128 votes. That was not enough for a win. But then he had a chance after Representative Tom Emmer from Minnesota, who was the third ranking House Republican, renounced his bid for Speaker just hours after he was nominated. So, you know, I'm asking, what is going on here? And then finally, a consensus for Johnson was achieved. Now, what did Speaker Johnson promise, and where has he taken us since then? You're listening to Unleashed, the Political News Hour. Dr. Steve LaTulip here at the mic today, and I have a special guest with me, Dr. Rob Lowry. He is a Texas medical doctor. He is actually an author on the America Out Loud Network, and let me tell you, he has written some fantastic articles. He has also authored the book Recovering America Liberty, Rediscovering the Principles of Just Government. Rob is a rational, a knowledgeable, and a deep thinker. He is my kind of a guy. So I'd like to bring him on now to get his perspective on this ever-growing crisis in the House of what I would call non-representatives, because it seems like they don't hear the people's voice any longer. And I'd also like to delve a little bit into what's been going down in the kangaroo courtrooms, and particularly against former President Trump. So I welcome you, Bob. Thank you very much. So let me just ask you this question, Rob. Has Speaker Johnson faithfully served the American people in his office? Is he genuine? Has he wavered in what he promised? What do you think?
Well, I think he promised a lot, but it was clearly his election was to put the liberty-minded folks to bed for a little while, is really what it was, is what I saw it to be. So he promised some things, he's done some good, but I think he's slow walking it as the Speaker of the House. He has a lot of authority to really correct things in D.C., but just like a lot of Trump's cabinet, he's slow walking this thing, and now actually sort of reversed on us here the last couple of weeks. So to tell you the truth, I think he's moved more toward the Uniparty as speaker than he was before it.
Okay, can we clarify a few terms here, Rob? You said he is slow walking things. Could you be more specific? What precisely is he slow walking, and what do you mean by that term?
So if you look at folks like Representative Green and the real liberty-minded folks there, they had some they had their points that they wanted for the new speaker, things that we needed to get. Start addressing the problems with the Justice Department, the FBI, start addressing things of the corruption in DC. Look at the January 6th trials and those things, right? And yet, he said he would do these things, but as the speaker, he hasn't really brought these up to the floor or pushed his committee chairman to make these things happen. He talks about it a little bit. Tell you the truth, he's kind of like our Texas governor, where he talks a lot of things, but he doesn't really press for them once the cameras are off.
All right, so these people who are considered the radical right, as you said, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of other of the representatives that actually are saying, you know what, maybe we need to get rid of Mike Johnson.
Right.
Do you think that they are asking of Mike Johnson some things that are unreasonable, irrational? Or do you think they have some validity to some of their expectations?
I think they have perfect expectations. They, because it's what needs to happen and it's the right thing to do. They wanted their own speaker. Remember, this is, I guess it's been a year maybe now, right? Well, yeah, it's probably
Yeah,
been a year.
time's flying, absolutely.
And suddenly, like you mentioned in the intro, he sort of came out of nowhere as the middle of the road candidate between the two. But if we're going to drain the swamp, if we're going to fix things, you've got to expect to do the right thing, not the get along thing. And that's what they've got now, is what it appears to be, especially after this FISA court dust up here last week, right?
Oh yeah, but you're saying drain the swamp. Come on, Rob. This is a Uniparty, as you said. That's the last thing they want to do is drain the swamp. And let's face it. Now, I think that you and I specifically could be very harsh on Speaker Mike Johnson, and maybe that's justified. But listen, whoever the speaker was going to be, he was inheriting an absolute mess, wasn't he? I
Oh,
mean,
sure.
it's an absolute sewer of slimy corruption, lawlessness, immorality, willful ignorance of the Constitution. That they took an oath to defend, by the way, and a complete disregard for any notion whatsoever of divine providence, which is something that our nation's founders so often appealed to for wisdom, knowledge, and strength. So, where does that leave us? I mean, with a deep state, a shadowy communist government collectively masquerading as a uniparty, how do we proceed? This is the problem that we are facing right now. And it seems to me that we've been let down by Mike Johnson, but we also have to figure out how do we go about launching an offensive against this tyranny.
Well, it has to come from several ways, several places. It has to come from the states. It has to come from the people. And frankly, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and that group, I'm proud of them. Any one of those, I would think, would do a better job at being the leader, because if you're going to sign up to be speaker, you're taking on the responsibility of being speaker. So a lot of them, I agree with you, will keep saying, well, I have to deal with the politics of this. Well, no, if you're the speaker, speak truth, do the right thing, and let the cards go where they go. But everybody
Yeah.
keeps trying to play cards behind their backs. And, granted, I'll admit straight up, I don't know if he has four or five other things that are coming up over the next month that he knows he has to do this one right in order to get that one done. But still, that's part of that game that they're all playing, that now that he's the leader, he's not leading. We don't need, Bradley back in World War II, great,
Right,
great
right.
general, but there's certain times when you need a Patton. And this is a time when you need a Patton, not a Bradley.
Right. You know, I think to put this into perspective, because you're making some great points here, Rob. For one thing, you're defending Marjorie Taylor Greene. You said you're proud of her. And I can't help but agree with you there, particularly because the issues that I see her raising, they are reasonable, they're justified, they are in defense of putting forth a people's republic based on the voice of the people. And so, you know, if we really want to get a grasp on whether or not Mike Johnson is dropping the ball here, Speaker Johnson, all we have to do is look back at what he said. The newly elected speaker, Mike Johnson, had strong words of hope. You remember them? Let me just refresh the memory here for the sake of our listeners. He said, "I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night," Johnson said. "I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raises up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained, allowed and ordained each and every one of us to be here at this specific moment. This is my belief." So he states a strong Christian ethic. He says, "I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great nation, and they deserve it." Now, those were exactly his words. Well, he doesn't stop right there. He goes on and says, "The challenge before us is great, but the time to act is now." Wow, I like this. I mean, this is refreshing. And then he says, "Our mission here is to serve you well, to restore the people's faith in the House, and it needs restored." And then finally, he said, "We stand at a very dangerous time, but a strong America is good for the entire world. We are the beacon of freedom. We must not waver." Now, I think those are profound and phenomenal words, and we need to ask ourselves, is Speaker Johnson holding up to what he seemed to proclaim and stand for? We're going to take a just short pause and we'll return to discuss this further and sort out the naked truth.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
And welcome back to Unleash the Political News Hour. Dr. Steve LaTulip here as your host, and with me, a great guest, Dr. Robert Lowry, who is very knowledgeable in politics, in American history, and he is a patriot of patriots, as well as a medical doctor. We want to remind you, please go to AmericaOutLoud.news because you are going to get some great articles written there from some really wonderful authors who are in no way censored. They are speaking the truth plainly and boldly and unashamedly, and we are not protected from your criticism, and we don't want to be protected from your criticism. We want to speak openly. This is called the First Amendment. This is what made our country great. It is the very type of style that is used to discuss the discoveries of science so that we can develop and grow together, make new discoveries, learn new things. But today, what we are doing is just bringing to you the good and the bad news of the day. But remember this, all is well that ends well. We do know that every evildoer in this world will ultimately reap what he has sown. We are promised that in Scripture, and I'm excited about that. Now, let's get back to Speaker Johnson. I just quoted some of the words he spoke in his acceptance speech after he was actually elected as Speaker of the House. Now, in that speech, he concluded with some very specific commitments. And these are what he said. First of all, he says, "I've made a commitment to my colleagues here that this speaker's office is going to be known for decentralizing the power here." Okay, so number one thing, he says, "I'm going to decentralize the power." And then he says, "My office is going to be for members being more involved and having more influence in all the processes and the regular order of things." So that kind of goes along with decentralization of power. Get more people involved. That makes sense. And then he states, "My office is going to be known for trust and transparency and accountability, for good stewardship of the people's treasure, for the honesty, integrity that is incumbent on us, all of us, here in the people's house." And then finally, he says, "Then our system of government is not a perfect system, but it's the best in the world, and we have an opportunity to preserve it." And then finally, he says, giving a message to the rest of the world, he says, "Adversity makes us stronger. Let the enemies of freedom listen loud and clear. The people's house is back in business." Whoa, that sounds good, doesn't it? Hey, Rob, is the speaker's house back in business?
I don't see that it's back in business in the way that he promised.
I don't either. Has he decentralized power?
Not that I'm aware of at all. I mean, it's still very layered. And I would argue it's completely unconstitutional the way they operate either of the houses at this point, where we are supposed to, in every congressional district, is supposed to be a generally equal number of people and be equally represented. Well, clearly, if you happen to be the folks out of the district where the speaker's from or any of his chairmen, you have all the power. And if you're not on one of those positions, you have zero power other than if it's a close vote and maybe your vote might swing something. So effectively, there's 20 guys running the House, 20 folks running the House, and you either come along with them or you don't.
That's the way I see it. There is no decentralization of power. It is ever more centralized. In my opinion, Speaker Johnson just simply does not appear to have lived up to his promises. And, you know, given all of the circumstances before us, I mean, I'm trying to be fair to Speaker Johnson. Okay. Do you think anyone else could have done a better job than Johnson, like Matt Gaetz, Jim Johnson, or Marjorie Taylor Greene? Or do you think anyone else could have done a worse job? Because what I see happening, it almost seems to me like the Speaker of the House is kind of like our president, just a puppet in the system. I mean, name one thing that Speaker Johnson has accomplished for the American people. I can't think of one. Can you help me out there?
Well, he's held out on a few votes, but I'm with you on that. If he decided to really take his promises and put them into action, he has the authority to do it, and he just hasn't done it.
He hasn't done it. Right. Well, let's ask the questions. Are the borders more secure? Has he done anything to secure the borders?
Nope.
No. Is our economy better?
Nope.
Nope. It's getting worse. Do our adversaries have more respect for us now since he's been speaker? No. Have crime and violence improved anywhere in the United States, Rob?
Not at all.
No. And when you look at what Mike Johnson promised us, my goodness. I mean, is the Speaker's house, the Speaker's office, is it now known for trust, transparency, and good stewardship of the people's treasure? I mean, look what Johnson just approved, $61 billion of the people's treasure just gifted to Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. Now, what did the people's treasure purchase to make America a better place? I don't see anything. Maybe I'm missing. You know, we can't say nothing, though, Rob, because our treasure is prospering every illegal alien invading our country. You know, they demand better food, posh housing, free medical care, more money and allowance, you know, and hey, weapons too, right? Are they getting it? Yes, they are, with our money. That doesn't sound like being a good steward of the people's treasure to me.
And you're right. That's where the Speaker of the House in general does have a huge say, and that's on the budget. But if they're going to pass giving money to everybody else who's doing the wrong thing all the way along anyway, you can talk all you want to Speaker, but your actions show otherwise.
Exactly right. I saw kind of a cartoon quip out that, you know, America is here to better every country in the world as long as the country is not called the United States of America. So we are losing. Truthfully, I just have to say that Mike Johnson has failed miserably. And I'm not attacking his motives, his beliefs, his thoughts. You know, I'm not saying they shouldn't be attacked, but I'm not attacking. I'm just saying he has done absolutely nothing whatsoever to strengthen America. And he's made a lot of excuses for his inefficacy. And, you know, I'll say this too. When a person seems to shout out and tell the world, I am a Christian, I am a Christian, oh, I am a holy Christian, it seems to me that the louder people speak that message, the more fraudulent they seem to be. And I find that utterly disgusting. It just, they should just be silent and not claim it. It's like having a Christian bumper sticker on your car and you're, you know, driving 30 miles over the speed limit, cutting people off, honking, being obnoxious. It just doesn't fit the story of one's life.
Well, I agree with you there, but I would give him some kudos on he brought up faith, which wasn't happening from the other side at all, and brought back to the idea that our faith in that Judeo-Christian ethos is what brought America forward in the world to begin with, why our prosperity exists, because God has blessed us because of that. Yet, I agree too, again, with the same point. He, as a Christian, may actually have that old standard historical idea of what Romans 13 means, where we're supposed to bend to the government, that erroneous idea of Romans 13, 1 through 6 or 7 there.
Yeah, please don't get me going on that, okay? Right. Because that is one of the most misused, abused, misunderstood, misinterpreted passages of Scripture ever.
Right.
I mean, look at Jesus. Look at
that worldview. Then he thinks he's actually doing the right thing here by still honoring the other parts of government, those ones that we want to see the FBI go away and a new thing started, obviously, that I really think only people who think like Gates and Green would be able to pull off.
Yeah, but I asked myself, would they actually be able to pull it off? You know, there was...
attempt it. I don't see him really putting all battle forward to make it happen.
No, I actually, at this point in the game, Rob, I'll be honest, I have zero confidence in Speaker Johnson. He has done nothing of what he has promised. He has done nothing to restore my confidence in the House. And I think pretty much everybody else feels the same way. Where was America at as a nation before Speaker Johnson? Where are we now? There was a quote from this Michael Elner that was posted, and it said it pretty well. Just look at us. Everything is backwards, and everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroy information, and religions destroy spirituality. So who can argue with him? He died, by the way, in 2018. So he said that at least prior to that time. But has anything changed from when he said that? Well, actually, yes, it has changed. It has only gotten worse, okay, since that time. It hasn't gotten any better. So we're spinning our wheels. We are, I think, whining a lot, complaining a lot. But we're really not accomplishing anything. And in fact, Babylon Bee came out with a joke saying, in a landmark bipartisan vote, the U.S. House of Representatives has voted to protect every country in the entire world as long as that country isn't named the United States. Now, is that an exaggeration or is that reality?
That's reality. That is reality. And I sometimes, when speaking with our children who are adults now, we were speaking about this the other day of just, they get away with it because we have this fake money system so that they can claim, all right, we're going to donate this money to these other entities, these other countries, what have you, where if they actually had to get the money from the United States people, the folks in D.C. wouldn't be able to do three quarters of what they're doing. But because it's fake, they can just borrow it out of thin air and then tell us we owe it.
Sure. Just put us further and further into debt. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene actually said that Mike Johnson's speakership was over. She's convinced of it now, but she says he needs to do the right thing, which is exactly what you just have said a couple of times here. And I love that statement. Do the right thing. And she said for Speaker Johnson, doing the right thing would be to resign. And she says if he doesn't, he will be vacated. Now, why did she say that? She says, well, and she points it out. She says, he betrayed us on the border security. He betrayed us on funding endless foreign wars. He betrayed us on FISA, which you brought up, Rob. And He betrayed us on fully funding Biden's Department of Justice. So all we get is betrayal, which just, of course, is the opposite of trust. And so Representative Paul Gosar, he's in my state of Arizona. He looks at the $61 billion to Ukraine and he says, you got to be kidding me. And what goes to our border protection? Absolutely nothing. And you can't really say that, Rob, because the money that we don't know how much of it going to Ukraine is getting funneled elsewhere. But what I see is just the opposite of border security. It is border infiltration that they are funding. The Uniparty has funded that. We have seen it right before our very eyes. And so when Gosar supports a motion to vacate, you know, they're going to be painted as radicals. They're going to be told like, oh, you guys are just extremists. Don't you realize what you are doing? Because you're just asking for a Democrat Speaker of the House. But, you know, so, and then they go and call the big allowance to Ukraine a loan, but the terms of the so-called loan allow the president to calculate all the debt or cancel all the debt by the end of his fake presidency. Huh? How does that, you know, it ends up being a gift and ultimately of our tax money if we're ever going to pay off the deficit. So, as Gosar said, this is coming from the military Eisenhower, the military complex that Eisenhower talked about. He warned us about that, and it is happening. But what I struggle with is that so many people attack the ones who say, let's just do the right thing. Maria Bartiromo, a Fox News host, challenged Marjorie Taylor Greene about ousting Mike Johnson. She says, what is your alternative plan? Does anyone have a plan? Now, was she saying that in a vindictive way, or was she sincere? Like, what's the plan? Because we need a plan to stop the unit party, the deep state, the shadowy government, whatever you want to call it. But that's a very tall order. Do you have any idea where we go with this, Rob?
Yeah, no, because every person there believes they're doing the right thing. So when you say do the right thing, who are you speaking to is the question, and then you'll know what the answer is. And I think, I mean, I would assume most everybody realizes a deal was made and a compromise was made that put Johnson in position, because it was going badly for the yellow bellies that were there. So they finally decided, okay, well, let's go find somebody who's a compromise and see if we can get the Freedom Caucus, the Liberty Caucus guys, those folks to come around and let us go forward. And so maybe it was a step forward for the freedom groups to get Johnson. And now if we get rid of him, we can take one more step toward freedom and liberty. But as soon as they start talking about, oh, what are we going to do for what's the right thing to do? Well, you ask any Democrat, and what the right thing to do is probably 180 degrees of what I would suggest.
And what would you suggest?
That as the speaker, that the speaker would have to come out publicly and say, these are my 10 priorities I want to have done. One of those is, we're going to close the borders tomorrow morning. That we're going to get a sound money. We're going to fix up our tax. We're going to get the FBI off of every American's, you know, porch that they seem to be looking at. We're going to turn the Department of Justice to where it's actually justice and not an attack on conservatives. I don't know what number I'm up to at this point, but those would be those things. And how are we going to do that as the House? Well, we're going to do it by defunding them first, because that's the quickest thing we can do. And then the second thing is, we're going to pass legislation, we're going to do it openly, and we're going to hand it over to the Senate. And if the Senate doesn't pass it, we're going to do all we can to throw it into the news and show everybody what the Senate did, and let the votes go where they go, other than the fact they have no way to really stop the corrupt voting process in all these states for this next round. So I don't know what they're going to do with that part, but at least you have to start somewhere and get going.
You do. So based on what you said, then, I think you've already stated, I just want to clarify, you agree that Marjorie Taylor Greene is on the right track, saying that he should resign. Speaker Johnson should resign the speakership because he has betrayed us on multiple counts. And I don't think anybody can refute that, because Mike's own words condemn him. But all right, let's just say that he was vacated. The office was vacated, and we get a Democrat, Hakeem Jeffries, up there. Would Hakeem Jeffries have done anything different? You know, as far as the outcome, I'm not talking about the words and talking about what I'm going to do and not going to do, because what we saw from Johnson is he says, well, we're going to do this. And they end up doing what the Uniparty, the Democrats, which are communist minded, what they got their way anyway. So what does it matter? And that's where I seem to picture Johnson as being just this puppet of the Uniparty.
Well, I don't see. You know, when the Democrats get in charge, they seem to do a much more effective job on getting what they want done. When the Republicans get in charge, it always seems like they don't get anything done. But in reality, the Republicans that get in charge are halfway to the Democrat side anyway, so it's what they want.
Right.
So, but I don't think if Johnson gets, you know, usurped, there's going to be another 2 or 3 weeks of gnashing of teeth and, you know, throwing dust on their clothes up there, trying to make it look like it's a big problem. But They could pick Gates, they could pick Green, they could pick Jim Jordan. Any one of those guys would probably, I believe, would do a better job at moving back toward what would be the middle of the road, because we've been so far left for so long, we think the middle of the road is right wing.
That is true. But how would we get them elected? Do you think that they'd have any chance of being elected as Speaker of the House? Matt Gaetz, for example.
If the Liberty Caucus folks hold to their guns, yes.
What's the chance of that? Give me a number, Rob. What do you think? What's the chance that that would actually happen?
I think now it would happen. Look at all the things that are happening to Trump right now. There's a whole lot of middle of the road or House members now that are looking at this and thinking every time Trump gets stymied or pushed from the government, there's more and more Americans who are waking up to what the truth is. And so some of these House members that aren't part of the Freedom Caucus, the Liberty Caucus, they're moving at least in that direction, I would think, just to save their political hides. So it would be an easier run than what it was a year ago to get a liberty-minded person in there.
Well, I hope you're right, Rob. I really do, because we're at that point where somebody has got to come up with a plan, but we have to come up with it rather soon.
Because, and a person who's willing to execute it. That's the problem.
Right.
Johnson isn't ready to execute it, and so he's not pressing for it.
Do you think there might be an underlying reason for that? I mean, does this guy does he lack wisdom? Does he lack insight? Or is he just a spineless coward? Or is he just so naive that he doesn't know what's happening to him, how he's being played?
I assume it's all of the above. Plus, he believes that he's playing the game correctly because he thinks he needs to play the long game. So he has to push it slowly, wait for the new elections in November, and then maybe act. I wouldn't doubt that that's what he would tell us. But people like me would do differently. That's just all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, there's not going to be any future to America if we don't turn this around. There is not going to be a long game. Well, okay, so let's just shift gears for a little bit. Now, on Monday, former President Trump had the hush money trial that began in New York City, a total kangaroo court, but nonetheless, a very dangerous hearing. You know, look at how this is stacked up against Donald Trump. New York jurors are selected. A corrupt judge, Juno Merchant, donated to Biden, and he should have recused himself. His daughter, Lauren, has raised some $100 million using the trial from which she is profiting for her gains. She's a Chicago-based Democrat operative who assisted the pencil neck Adam Schiff in his corrupt impeachment scheme in 2019. And then we have a Soros bribe DA, Alvin Bragg, who advocates for a completely lawless New York. And then this trial is expected to occur 4 days a week for several weeks. And Trump is being forced to be present, to be there in person every single day. Now, how bad can it get? How much more election interference could we possibly see than this? can it get any worse? What did they leave out, Rob? I just don't see it.
They took it hook, line, and sinker, or whatever analogy you want to use. The kitchen sink is right there in New York City. They've got everything set up, and clearly they set this up the way they wanted to. How are you going to find a jury in New York City that's going to go against what this judge wants? The judge has already put the gag order on him. Had you asked me 10 years ago and just used different names, I would have said you were talking about Russia, you were talking about China, talking about North Korea. Would have never thought, even as bad as I knew New York was at the time, that it was that bad. We have really turned a corner.
Right. But hey, did you get this? Now, I'm just ever amazed here. What does Trump tell his supporters to do? Well, he says, go out and peacefully protest, right? Rally behind MAGA, he says. Now, this sounds like a bad deja vu, right, from January 6th. but that's what I like about Trump, is that he's got a spine and he's just speaking the right thing. He's telling the truth and he stands fully behind his words. And I got to admire him. But, you know, only peaceful Palestinian protesters are immune to persecution. So, you know, if conservatives go out and protest in front of every courthouse in the land, what's going to happen to them? You know, that's probably what these people are thinking. It's like, oh, no, I'm not going to, you know, because the FBI is going to come after us and we're going to be thrown in the D.C. gulags, too, just like the J6 victims were thrown in. So it's really interesting how this is all developing. But I, you know, frankly, I think all the protesting in the blooming world isn't going to change the plan of stopping Trump. You know, I just don't see it. They're going to tie him up in these bogus hearings one after another. They, if they have their way, they want to prosecute him and jail him and then say if he's convicted, right? What are they talking about? Removes his Secret Service protection. And then what? Well, you know why they want to do that. Will Trump be, you know, if they throw him in prison, is he going to be mysteriously committing suicide or having no Secret Service protection? Is he going to be assassinated? Well, I think they would absolutely love that either way. However, this is going to go. And we've seen it happen. How many times now?
Sure. I wouldn't doubt that at all. They cannot afford to have that guy alive and running for office, let alone get an office.
Right. Because if he gets a handle on the White House and has just an inkling of support, I think that guy could take down the deep state, completely drain the sewer. But he can't do it alone, you know, and that's where I struggle, because in my opinion, Rob, we still have not fought back. We have yet to launch an offensive. We're always on the defense. Would you agree with that or not?
100%. The first time in, you know, I kind of give it to him right now, even though I was just yelling at the TV when I kept listening to the next name after the next name that he would put up for cabinet when he was first in, thinking, those are all deep state people that you're putting into the cabinet. They're never going to do what we're trying to do. And sure enough, they backstabbed him. Well, I trust that he knows better this time. And he's not going to put anybody in who was part of the deep state and get the right people, get a bunch of patents again, but for each department, and tell them, okay, here's your marching orders, make it happen. That would happen. I believe a lot of America's behind them. It's just right now we don't have access to the strings of power to turn the government the way we want. And
right.
he would be that key.
Well, I think he would, but let me tell you, I'm on a patriot, a military kind of patriot thread, and a lot of these guys are convinced that Donald Trump himself is part of the deep state. He's just putting on a big act, and I just don't see that. I don't come to that conclusion, but I'd like to discuss this further after a short pause.
God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will. The will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour. I would remind you, please, do visit AmericaOutloud.news. You can get the great articles, podcasts, some great radio shows that are on, and learn what is happening in America and what you can do about it as a lover of America. And please go to AmericaOutloud.shop for the latest healthcare products. We are very grateful for all of our sponsors, and we would like to see you benefit from the many good health and nutritional products available at AmericaOutloud.shop, and use the code OUTLOUD for some great discounts. Well, today we have been discussing the problem of an absolute lack of a counteroffensive against the coup team that is literally taking down America faster than we ever could have dreamed. Today, we're discussing the flips, failures, and facades of Speaker Johnson. And I'll admit, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, or maybe I actually would, because I'll tell you, I wouldn't back down. I would not back down. I would stand my ground. Somebody has to do something to save America from the fools of godlessness who are now rapidly destroying our nation. So the real question is, how in the world are we going to do it? Right now, we are watching lawfare at its absolute worst. Look at what they are doing to Donald Trump. They must eliminate this guy from the potential of becoming the next president of the United States. And that is because the writing is on the wall for all of us. We see that this is the man that America wants as their president. Not everybody agrees with him. Not everybody likes him. But they know what he did. And what he did was make America great, as he claimed he would do. He stood by his word. Promises were made, and his promises were kept to the very best of his ability. So here we go, watching this lawfare at its worst. And every time I think it can't get any worse, it does. And I have to tell you, it's a total embarrassment to our country, to everything this country stands for. So are we absolutely helpless to stop this tyranny? Well, only if we choose. God gave us a free will, but God also allows us in our free will to be deceived. And throughout history, we see it. Nation after nation has fallen because of deception, because of rejecting truth, justice, and morality. Now, that's the bottom line. So when somebody like Rob, my guest today, says, do what is right, well, yeah. What's the remedy? The remedy for all of this is to restore truth, justice, and morality. But the damning thing, honestly, is that we can't even agree on what is true, on what is just, or what is morally right, because we simply refuse to accept the standard that gave us the most powerful nation in the world, and that was a nation under God. So what is our standard? What should be our standard? Rob, do you have any thoughts on that? Any comment? Should it be something other than the Constitution, something other than the Bible?
No, I mean, our standard is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's number one. And if we would, as a people, return to Him and in that only be willing to elect people who have that same idea, God would save our land again. But if we're going to keep electing people who not only don't do that, but are against God, we can't trust that God would continue to bless us. And that's the season we're in right now. But hopefully a remnant's going to rise up.
Well, that's what history does teach us. Every nation that has rejected God has fallen. Now, God is using, has used evil empires, evil nations in the past to mete out his justice, even on his own people who were chosen for a purpose, the Jews. But God said, look, if you don't follow me, I don't care who you are, I will reject you. And that's all across the board. So I agree with that, Rob. But I have to, you know, say that I'm not convinced that a whole lot of people actually believe what you just said today, that we have to return to a Christian standard. Am I wrong? What do you see? I mean, or are people waking up to that spiritually?
You're right. I think there's some Christians waking up to it and some lost people waking up to Christianity itself. But as a tide, I still see us faltering. I don't see us waking up. People are frustrated, but not necessarily because they want to do what's right according to that standard you were just talking about of having God first in our hearts.
Well, Rob, you're not really boosting my good feelings button here.
But let's look at Babylon. When Daniel first arrived. But before Daniel passed away, the remnant was established and they, you know, end up going back, right?
Yeah. So, you know, interesting that you bring that up, Rob, because what I see is kind of what we saw in that time of the Babylonian exile and previously the Assyrian exile. We have become a very confused people. We don't know what we believe anymore or who we believe. We have become corrupted to the core and we are a blind nation. And it's all by our own choice. That's what I feel. And that's why I'm beginning actually, and I'll say it. I'll say it because I'm really starting to feel this more strongly. And I think you hinted at that if you didn't even say it yourself, Rob. That's why I'm beginning to believe that America is soon going to fall. And it's going to be extremely painful if we fall. Now, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm not being depressing. I'm just speaking candidly, my summary of what is now transpiring, what is happening every day in America in a progressive fashion. I would love for somebody to prove me wrong, Rob, and here you're agreeing with me. I mean, I pray every day that I'm wrong, but you don't think I'm wrong?
I don't think you're wrong.
Wow.
I'm praying for the other and I'm working for the other, but you know, are we looking at, okay, we are England and it's 1941, or are we actually going to lose this war? Well, we've got to actually fight the war if we're going to call it a war, and I don't see us fighting it yet.
I don't either, Rob. And all I've been saying is, look here, I'm ready, willing, and able. I'm not afraid to lose my life to defend my country. I'm just not. You mentioned the book of Daniel. Why did you bring up Daniel?
Well, because the Israelites thought they were doing the right thing when they went and spoke to Egypt to go get help. And God was saying, no, you need to trust me first. And every time for that generation, when they had an opportunity to look to God, they looked to man. And so he said, all right, well, I tell you what, I'm going to let man take you over. And I will bring up, obviously, a remnant over time. He told them how long it was going to be, right? And that's exactly what happened. A remnant, the people who stayed and stuck to the golden rule and they still survived that time. And so
Rob, listen, you've said it all right there. I'm going to take this to a conclusion right now. Rob, I really thank you for all of your great comments today. And, you know, it really heartens me to know that someone else seems to understand. Now, since Dr. Rob Lowry, quoted Daniel. If you look in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, I got to read these words to you. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. But then look at verse 33. Okay, notice take action, just like Rob was saying, right? But in verse 33, he says, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many, yet they will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Now, do these words not apply to our time right now? They do. I mean, this sounds like a summary of the whole COVID pandemic war, right? With all its deception and propaganda and smooth words, a lot of people fell for it. A lot of people have suffered and paid a heavy price, and some with their lives, and they're dying every day. But many people are waking up to the evil, at least it's coming into their consciousness for once. They're being refined, they are being purged, and hopefully being made pure in their thoughts and actions. But the COVID pandemic, good people, that was just the beginning. Now comes the real test. Between now and the end of this year comes the real test. And we got to acknowledge it. We failed miserably in the preliminary test, okay? The COVID test, it was a test for us. What lies before us is anybody's guess, but we can make an educated guess by just evaluating the facts. Our government has become our enemy, right? Our government is eagerly and laboriously working to destroy us. And so far, they're winning this war by a landslide because we have failed to launch an effective counteroffensive. Well, before the year ends, our government and its minions are going to hit us really hard, in a real hard way, in an unexpected way that you and I probably wouldn't believe if we knew it ahead of time. We aren't prepared for what's coming, spiritually, physically, or otherwise. How can you be? We'd rather deny it, and at best, we think we can come up with our own solutions to save our nation without consulting God. Now, this will be America's fatal flaw right there. That's what I predict is coming. Now, I'm not a guru. I have no crystal ball. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a seer or a prognosticator. All I have is the scripture, and I have a handle on the scripture. And all I have is the same evidence before me that everyone else has. That's what we got to look to. And both demand a response from each of us, a response that will determine our fate both here and hereafter. You've been listening to Unleashed, the Political News Hour with Dr. Steve LaTulip. I'm grateful to have my good friend, Dr. Rob Lowry, joining me today. Let's unleash the truth.